heavens! What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap! It's time for
Dutch Jones, Dutch Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Okay, we're adjusting everything right now. So if I'm booming in, I apologize. There we go. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3. This is the Dutch Jones radio program, and we are on remote. If you are listening to this, please let me know what is going on with the sound, because we've got kind of a messed up mix up here. In fact, I'm just going to bring this down here so you can't even hear it anymore, and then pause that. Hello. Okay, I got to bring up my sound level a little bit there. My microphone's going good. I never understand how these things really, truly work. I've got everything kind of funneled through like 8 different things, and I don't really need to. So here, let me just give me a second. It does sound fine, so I'm not going to disconnect anything then. I can't hear myself talk, but that's okay. I don't always have to hear myself talk. But we're coming to you live. Today is the 2nd of July, 2010. We are halfway on our way to the VA hospital. I have to go in and have my foot x-rayed. So your continued prayers are needed for that. It's just getting worse. I think I ruptured that Achilles tendon. I cannot even walk or anything. So I got a pair of crutches, though. I found some crutches in our infirmary, and I'm able to piddle around that way. But it's getting worse. So I was doing some research, and they said the Achilles tendon, you don't mess around with it. They said any injury to it, you got to get it checked out. Because they said it could hound you for the rest of your life. So I wanted to make sure that I didn't do anything stupid and play big dumb male and go, oh, no, I'm fine. Plus, you know, we're trying to do a lot of things right now. We're moving to a different facility on the same property. There's work that needs to be done. I haven't had good work in a long time. And, you know, if it pops up, I got to be ready to do it. You know, the money's hard for everybody, and I can't let a little bit of pain and a severed tendon slow me down, so I got to do something. If I can't go out and do yard work, I got to find something else to do. So again, your prayers are definitely needed. Yesterday was a good show. It was a great show. I really enjoyed it. It was fun talking about God like I always want to do. You know, I always try to mix that in here, especially the second hour when we were on Liberty Tree live. I thought it went really well, and sharing America's Providential History, a great book. I got a lot of emails off of that show yesterday, even more than normal, and most of them were asking a couple of different things. They were saying, where'd you get the book? What quote did you use? What Bible verse was that you used when it pertained to what subject? So I did a lot of that, and then I got a bunch of music today, too, from our listener, PennDOT. We just loaded a bunch of that up. I don't know if we're going to be using it too much today because I can't really go back and forth between them. When Stacy gets here with the tacos, I'm going to be playing music because I'm going to be telling you the truth. I need to eat. I haven't eaten lunch today. All I had was breakfast, and we were waiting on the mail. For those of you that got the email, our post office box 31 is no longer safe. They want me to come in. They want to talk to me. They want to know who I am because, as I told you, 2 or 3 postmistresses ago, she was one of us. And she didn't make me show an ID. It just put the initials DJ on there. And it said it gave an address in another state that I used to use. And they want to know. They're not going to ship mail to us. So Stacy's paycheck, we had to go pick it up at the post office. She went in, of course, by herself, and I maintained security outside. Because you never know. They will use postal inspectors to bust patriots. I got a little story I'm going to share with you in a bit about it, but the post office box is dead. We haven't been getting our mail through there religiously anyway. We don't know when they put it in. It varies in hours. But if you need to continue to support us monetarily, please use the pigeon if you can. I know some of you have been using just the church in general. That still gets to me. Maybe we'll put the address of the church up. But I don't want to burden them with that. I don't want them to have to worry about, well, is this check for Dutch Jones, or just check for the church kind of thing. You can see where that would get weird. So we don't want to do that. But I want to tell you about postal inspectors. They're a unique kind of law enforcement branch. A lot of times, because they're using the Interstate Commerce Clause to arrest patriots for sedition and things, and it's turning out that's probably what they're coming after me for. The little probing I'm doing and the spies that I have that are still on the inside, I think they're trying to build a sedition case against me because I flat out say that I wish we could just secede from the Union here in the Pacific Northwest. So, you know, so they're trying to build a sedition case, commerce case I'm sure they're looking at because I am getting donations and I don't have a business license, that old kind of thing. Moreland's saying, can you set up your own post office at the church? We are actually, we have a committee of people looking into that. We're thinking about just providing it. We actually have like an 1890s post office row of boxes about the size of an entertainment center that we took out of an old post office that one of the pastors just, he heard a post office was being torn down. He went in and salvaged it out. So, you know, that is definitely what we're looking at, Warland. We're trying to become our own community anyway, so a post office is a great way to start. You know, say, go ahead, shut down our post office. We'll run another one. We'll run it with volunteers. Because they want you to have a bond and everything because you're looking at people's mail. But yet it's always those scumbags that are cutting the mail open and taking stuff out and looking at it, right? Postal inspectors are an evil, unseen, covert arm of the New World Order. They can do all kinds of stuff. I was with the Campo Minutemen I still support them. I just haven't been able to go down there. And it's looking like, with this injury, I may not be going to Arizona either. So that's kind of a bummer there. I was really looking forward to that. And also, we had another financial blow. Because I get veterans benefits through the state of California, because I'm a Cal vet. Because even though I lived in Colorado, I got on the plane here and was sworn in here in Los Angeles. The budget wasn't passed, so they're not paying me. We went to go get our deposit this morning for my, you know, $500-$600 or whatever it is. And it wasn't there, and it said that they're just not going to pay. It's one of the things they're not paying. So be praying for us there. But postal workers, postal employees, postal inspectors, it's kind of like the Federal Reserve. It's not really a federal agency. It's a private entity, contracts with the federal government now, you know what I'm saying. It's kind of like Amtrak. Well, they have postal inspectors that are sworn officers that have all kinds of powers of arrest, powers to carry weapons. Well, I was with the Minutemen, and we were down there, and we have new people come in and out all the time. Some people come once and never do it again. Other people come intermittently. Some people come and are just in love with the cause of standing in the gap and keeping the illegals from coming in. Well, we had a woman come down, a middle-aged woman, 35, 40 years old. I won't use her name because I promised them I wouldn't after what we did. And she came in really enthusiastic. You guys are great. I love what you guys are doing. You're American heroes. You know, the whole thing that we usually get. And we gloat in that, too, I have to admit. We're like, yeah, we're great. And especially it's rare that a woman comes down. A lot of single guys when I was down there living on the border, you know, 2 or 3 weeks at a time. And then there were guys that lived there permanently. So this female comes down, and she kind of fits in. Then sitting around the campfire at night, she started hearing things like, boy, I wish we had some explosives. Or, you know, do you guys ever just shoot somebody for fun? These questions started coming up. Then the camera came out. She started taking pictures of all of us doing all this stuff. Well, I used an alias there, just like I use an alias here, and I didn't tell people what I did for a living back then except for the key people that I knew I could trust. Well, I was a private investigator and a bail enforcement officer at the time, working for a contracting agency. You know, that you people know it as Bounty Hunter, but it's really not as glamorous or as stupid as the TV show makes it look. A lot of it's just going after people for parking tickets and stuff, and you get a percentage of it. Well, anyway, I ran her license plate, came back as a different name and different address, different city, which is okay because I do the same thing. So I thought, okay, well, maybe she's just in the Patriot system. So then I ran that name that I got off of that, and it came back as blocked as a federal employee. So then I did some more digging through my office, and I found out that she was a federal postal inspector. Well, I spread that to the key figures, and she started to get real cozy trying to get more information from us. She would come down and started spending the night rather than just spending the day. She started moving from, well, I'm going to be honest with you, from vehicle to vehicle between the men and being kind of a Mata Hari. She was sleeping with the men to get information from them, to get closer to them. And then one day she's trying to get us to build bombs and all kinds of stuff. And I just said, no, we're not going to do that. So what I did is I found out what branch she was out of. I think it was Oceanside. I called her supervisor and asked for a fax number where I could send some information that I was a private investigator and had some key stuff. I sent the whole packet over. Pictures, all kinds of stuff of her down with us. I said, look, we know who she is, and I know she's sleeping with members of our group. And if you guys don't pull her out, I'm going public with this, that your agents are sluts. And we never saw her again. But that let us know that, hey, something's up with the Postal Service. So we started doing a lot of digging, and we found out that the Commerce Clause and crossing state lines, taking funds, they love to use the Postal Service for that. It's like it's in their little black bag of dirty tricks. Postal workers. You know that post office workers, postal delivery guys, are mandated reporters? Let's say, for instance, they're delivering to your house and they notice, and this is some case where it would be good, but it's still unconstitutional. You get four welfare checks at the same address. They report you for that. But it seems like they don't do anything anymore about it unless it's illegal, you know, unless it's, you know, not illegal aliens. But they're mandated. If they see materials for a drug lab being delivered, or if they see you're getting a lot of catalogs for lab equipment under the new, you know, Homeland Security 2, Patriot Act 2, that's what they do. So I'm not saying distrust all postal workers. You know, there's a lot of jokes in there, isn't there, for postal workers. But be aware of that. Be aware of the power of the U.S. Postal Service. And when you send packages to them, you're sending it through the belly of the beast. And who knows what kind of technology they have. You know, so I get a lot of people say, oh, I just ship guns through the mail all the time. I don't worry about it. Really? I would. And just because they don't take it and it goes through doesn't mean they don't go, hey, wait a minute, this guy got a gun. And we know it came through the mail. They're doing everything they can to just tighten the net. Yeah, if a postman sees a pot plant on your property, Warland asks, he will report it. Okay, guys, I'm going to take a slight break here. I'm going to play some music for the next few minutes. Please don't be mad at me, but I haven't eaten today, so I'm... Oh, it's doing it again. It's doing it again. Hang on. That's not the right one here. Let me close this one. Hey, Lou, come here. My technician is not here. Lou! He's ignoring me. I need you to set this up so it'll play some music. We're going to take a break here so I can eat. I want it to play some music. It started playing the intro again, and then it closed. So I guess I do need Al here, or Lou here. Al. That's his new nickname, Al. It's his undercover name. Start playing some music and switch it over, and I'm going to eat like three tacos, I promise. I'll snarf them down, and we will come right back to the stories that I'm sharing with you. It's just I'm type 2 diabetic, and I'm shaking right now, and I got to take medication and stuff. So just start planting some music in there and get it playing and switch it over for me, Lou, and let me eat.
When your nation is floundering in a sea of phony debt, and your cities are seething with domestic violence, and you're broke and disgusted with your worthless government, will you need the peacekeeping forces today? As the United Nations sends our soldiers overseas for the purpose of propping up their fake democracies, don't be fooled by denial. These are gross conspiracies. Keep your eyes on the peacekeeping forces today. Keep your eyes on the peacekeeping forces, the peacekeeping forces. Those ungodly troops are on their way. Keep your eyes on the peacekeeping forces. Down the drain to assist and support the international bankers' aims. Don't be fooled by your TV. It's just there to fan the flames of another United Nations charade. Keep your eyes on the peacekeeping forces. The peacekeeping forces. Those ungodly troops are here today. Keep your eyes on the peacekeeping forces. The peacekeeping forces. They're shipments every day. Watch the mother of global martial law attempt to make things right. Wrong. Now that your mind has been salvaged and you still have truth in sight, and you have not been duped by all their propaganda hype, will you fight for this country when you know the time is right? Will you fight the peacekeeping forces today?
free. For the pain that it's been through, she's been made to suffer. For the profit of a few, storm clouds are out forming. Winds of change now touch our shores. I hear forefathers are crying as the dream's been crucified. America, I'll show my love for thee with strength and loyalty. Show my love for you in all that I do. All that I do. I pray for my country and for friends and family. Mourning in their ignorance while staying safe within a dream. I will fight for freedom and raise liberty. I die for my country, slaying corporate dynasties. America, now show my love for thee with strength and loyalty. America, America, now show my love for you. I will pick you up and stand you up and set you back up on your feet. And after all I've fled and no one's left, I will always be there. And be there by your side and never let you down. I cry for my people in this time of tragedy. I just want some answers so the truth will set us free. And the truth will set us free. I say hallelujah.
Okay, now I got to figure out a way to make sure you can hear me. We're back. Okay, now where's the player? And I hit pause. There we go. I think I'm going to figure this out. Doing this all on one computer it seems like it would be easier. Cough. Sorry about that. But highly more complicated. I was downing a taco and I realized, boy, this is awfully chewy. And I realized I was eating part of the wrapper and somebody is saying it's more healthy than the food. Yeah, Taco Bell. I don't know. I don't see anything wrong with Taco Bell. It's lettuce, tomatoes, cheese, some kind of meat. I mean, you know, and they put enough spices and it probably kills the bacteria. It doesn't taste like hamburger, so. No, I haven't even heard E. coli stuff at Taco Bell. Have you guys? You know, Jack in the Box, McDonald's, all that, but, you know, I don't know. Yeah, we're going to get some Dutch Jones Fly Girls to do the intermission dance for you guys. Somebody's saying I should have dancers. Oh, yeah, and we'll just put Lou in a tutu and let him dance, and that way he'll have an output for his creative dance. It is a family show, but Lou does love to frolic. You should see him in the spring when the flowers are blooming and the grass is waist high. And he just, he'll be like, we'll be driving through some valley, and he'll like, I gotta stop. It's like, what's wrong, Lou? You gotta go to the bathroom? No, I have this horrible need to frolic. So we'll let him out for like 20 minutes. He'll run around singing The Hills Are Alive or something. I don't know where he gets it from, because his mom doesn't do it, at least that I know of.
No.
So, anyway, but that's just Lou. That's just a little insight into what Lou does. And since he'd rather be in the room across the hall, I get to dig on him.
Oh, he's not.
Yeah, he's online. He's like, no, it's lies, lies. Yeah, he's screaming lies, lies, lies. Boy, but I can tell you what. One thing that's really helped me, or a good thing that's come out of this injury, is trying to figure out what I would do if something would happen bad while I can't walk. I mean, I can put crutches on and move, but I'm still at that point where it's like the first day on the crutches, I'm basically doing more damage than good. And I don't know, I was looking online, they said it could take weeks for this type of injury to heal. So I started thinking about, man, I got to get my stuff together. I got to, you know, because we have everything packed into one room. It's not navigatable by me. Now, it works to our advantage if somebody breaks in, because they're going to stumble through the maze of, you know, ammo cans and buckets of supplies and stuff like that. But for me, it's bad. I can't get around. It's like yesterday, I stayed in bed completely except for the show. And I had, you know, I put my weapons where I could reach them. I got the binoculars out. I got the phone out, the radio out. You know, saying, well, everything's here within my reach. You know, this will be my last stand. I felt like, I can't remember who it was. Was it Jim? It wasn't Jim Bowie at the Alamo. I think it was the colonel who was in the room because he was wounded when the Mexicans came in. And, you know, he had two pistols and his sword and stuff. But I think that would do it. I have wrapped it in an ACE bandage. I've tried ice. I've tried heat. I called the VA nurse, and ow! I'm taking my little fluffy bunny ear slipper off, and that hurts. And they said that when you injure your Achilles tendon, it may never heal. So they say there's surgery. There's lots of physical therapy I'm going to be facing now, and I'm like, you're kidding! I'm just getting a, you know, mega cramp in my leg and tearing a tendon. She goes, yeah, the Achilles tendon is probably the most important and most easily injured tendon in the human body. And you think about it, you know, people go their whole life with a bad elbow injury or something, but that doesn't mean they can't walk. That tendon right in your heel, the Achilles tendon, it's named that, you know, you always hear, what's his Achilles heel? From the Greek, is it Greek mythology? Yeah, it's probably Greek mythology, named like Achilles. Talk about an area to take somebody out of the fight. I'm not, you know, I mean, when I was a kid playing hockey, we used to nail people all over the place, and I never thought about how much we were risking, especially when we were playing, you know, not playing for the school, but playing out on the local pond or at the rink. Getting cracked right in the Achilles tendon with a hockey stick could just cripple you for life. The littlest thing in the human body can take you out. I mean, I was not a warrior before, so, you know, spending 2 or 3 months recouping from this, it's not like, you know, I'm letting anybody down in our militia. I mean, most of my stuff is in my head and what I can do, the few things I can do to train people and set up communication stuff. And even that, I'm not an expert at. But thinking about, what if I had to flee today? You know, counting on Lou to get me out the door, no way. You know, and getting into a vehicle, because we had a suspicious vehicle come on the property, and I had to hobble out, get in the vehicle, follow them around, try and figure out what they were doing, you know. And it really brings it home when you start looking at the weaknesses that you have, that you know of, and then all of a sudden, boom, you know, something random like this happens. I'm not saying it's divine intervention or anything, or I had a lesson to be learned. Your ankle swells up, it gets bruised, and you don't even really know what did it. I'm just assuming it was the cramp because there's nothing else. When I was on the phone with the nurse, she's like, so have you been exercising strenuously? I'm like, no. She goes, have you been doing anything, you know, hiking, anything? I said, no, not for like over a month.
Thanks for watching. You broadcast.
Hey, I'm Ray Romano. You're watching You Broadcast.
Let's see. There we're
back. And I'm a little drunk.
Let me disable that. Hello, hello, hello. We are back. I hear breathing now. Wow.
Hey, I'm Ray Romano. You're watching You Broadcast, and I'm a little drunk.
Be sure to follow You Broadcast on Twitter.
You guys all want to go get ready for, let me do the echo. The 4th of July. Yes, we are off. Then let me do this. Okay, yeah, I switched over to music there just in case. I'm going to turn this down so I don't hear it. Can you guys hear music in the background while I'm talking? Let's turn that off. Do that. Okay, we're back up. Yeah, I don't know what... That was Stout-Hearted Men by Nelson Eddy from the, 1936 operetta New Moon. It was about slaves in Louisiana, white slaves in Louisiana, overthrowing their French captors and starting their own little community down there. People don't realize that there were a ton of white slaves brought into America, especially from the French. USSR stuff. I've got a bunch of that too. No, it's just old operetta stuff. Nelson and yeah, I like operetta. I like the old American cinema. Warren Lee Campbell, when he was alive, the senior pastor at our church, he used to bring me over because when I was single, I had no family or anything, and we'd sit there and watch these old black and white films that he had collected over the years, and just loved it. And we would just sit and talk, and he kept telling me it was funny because it was what's the name of the actor that we edited with that passed away, John? John Quaid. He kept saying, "You're exactly like John Quaid, DJ. You remind me exactly of you guys would get along great." I finally met him, and then the guy dies. But we used to just do that. We would just sit and watch these great old films that had a message, films that, you know, were, you know, good quality people. I mean, these were opera singers that started making films. It was like a fad they did for a while. You know, when they first got the talkies in, they went looking for people that could actually sing because. You know, usually the actresses and actors in these talkies had terrible, horrible, squeaky little voices. And so anybody that they automatically went for the musical because they knew those people could already sing. But yes, I love the ancient cinema. I love film noir. I love all that stuff. It was, and I like the music from it. And we play it on our FM radio station because after the pastor died away, that was his favorite song. You know, he had other songs that he liked, you know, Christian songs. But we play it for his widow. She likes to hear it, and it makes her think of him. And it doesn't make her sad. It makes her happy. So Grandma Campbell likes to hear that stout-hearted men, so I thought we'd add that today. Did you eat some wrapper off your taco, too? Well, back to it. Something as simple as an Achilles tendon injury will take you out of the fight, and we need to figure all these little things out so that we... Hey, wait a minute. I just noticed something. What's this here? Oh, guess not. Wow, look, there you go. Since we have the bandwidth, we might as well do this. We might as well do this. Oh yeah, Dutch. Lou is putting in. Look, I have a nightmare net right behind my head, and because of the delay. Oh, you see that back there? Here, look. What do we got here? We got a nightmare net. I don't know what this is doing here. I don't know why that's on the wall. We got like some crucifixes or some rosary beads up here. I think when we're away, people decorate this room to fit their needs and not ours. We need to check into that. But I'm going to let you guys see what I'm doing here. You can see the nerd glasses, which I love very much. My buddy Holly glasses. Hey, why is there a nightmare net up here?
I don't do it like...
Yeah, you know that's a pagan symbol.
Yeah.
We should take it out and burn it. Yeah. Now, Lou has the same exact glasses I do, so he hates it when I call him nerd glasses. Hey, embrace your inner nerd. That's what I always say. Embrace your inner nerd. But can you imagine something like, you know, we get diarrhea? Yeah, I got the webcam thing going. We get diarrhea. Now we take a few Imodiums and we stay near the toilet and then. That's all we... What's the hat? What is the hat that they're saying? Oh, who's this?
St. Louis Cardinals.
And you like the St. Louis Cardinals?
Yes,
people are saying burn the hat.
No.
I never noticed any of this stuff before. I never noticed any of these pagan worship symbols. Look, she's got... Oh, look what's up here.
Kenny Chesney.
Let's see if it shifts. I don't know if I can get the camera. She's like... what is it? Objectifying males by having posters up on her wall of country western folks. Yeah, it's weird. I never noticed that before up there on the wall. This shows you how much I care. Let's see what else we got. I should show you. This is the room that Stacy grew up in. So we're like,
no.
I can show you. Well, here's an old Gatorade bottle.
That's
oh, okay. Where's your copies of Dungeons and Dragons that you have around here? I used to play that. Kenny Homo.
Hey.
Yeah. Is it, which one's Kenny Chesney? Isn't he the one that was on American Idol?
No.
Is he the one that was outed or something? She's getting mad.
No. He was never on American Idol.
I thought he was.
Underwood.
No, there was a male too, I thought. On the way over here, we're listening to she listens to country western radio, and since she's driving, I don't mind country music. But it was like one guy was singing and it sounded like a girl. I go, "Who's this?" And she goes like Rascal Flatts. He goes, "Is that a woman?" She goes, "No." And I was like, "Uh-huh." She goes, "I know what you're thinking. He's not gay." And I go, he's got a wife and kids. I said, I wasn't thinking he was gay. I was thinking he sang like a girl. And then the next song was some guy, you know, who says men don't cry. And he's singing about crying all the time, sitting in his truck and crying.
Well,
and
because of his kids.
But I said, who is this? And she says it's Tim McGraw. And I'm like, I even know that name. And I thought Tim McGraw was like a man's man. You know, I thought he killed a guy with his bare hands or something, or killed a bear with his man hands. I can't remember what the myth was. But I was surprised to hear country songs with men going, nah, 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 nah. You know, so.
I do cry over your kids.
I cry at AT&T commercials all the time, but I'm not a country western singer. But in all defense, I know Johnny Cash cried. So if Johnny Cash can cry, any man can cry. It's okay. And she's really getting mad. You see, she's got sour cream on her face. I should turn the camera around to show you what she's doing in her little TV tray. Guys, you can tell I'm not really in it today. It could be the pain relievers for my leg. It could be that it's a 3-day weekend or what, but I don't know. I'm just feeling kind of out of it now. If John Wayne can cry, anyone can cry. I don't think John Wayne ever cried. I think that's what killed him. I think he never cried. He never let off stress. No, I'm not high. Because I only took half of what they told me to take. See, the hospital told me to take, like, more of my pain pills. I only took half of what they said. In case, like I was saying, and it goes back, getting back onto the topic, if I were to come into a crisis situation, I don't want to be high on drugs. It's bad enough I have to hop on one foot while I'm shooting or changing a tire or, you know, running out of a burning building, whatever calamity may befall me. Where are we? I can't tell you where we're at. It's a super secret location. It's not a Motel 6, I can tell you that much. That's kind of what's going on. Hello, Rocky Hill. So, Rocky Hill, I have a question for you. Are you going to have something going on July 4th, or are you going to go over to the other folks in your town? Because we're looking for something to do after church. We want to go watch fireworks, and we heard you're near the fireworks somewhere. You know, so we want to go do that. I was going to talk about 4th of July. I started talking about my ankle and got off. Yeah, I am slightly altered from the pain pills. So 4th of July has come to be nothing more than now it's a 4-day weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
To some people,
that's all it is. It's about getting the boat out. It's about taking the ATVs. What did we see? Just tons of trailers and stuff on the road coming here today. They've completely forgotten what it's for. And what it truly is, and what it is to me, is I hate England Day. I hate England Day. We threw off tyranny. We should talk about what our forefathers did, if they go back. But they're all our forefathers, even if we're not genetically related to them. My people came here after the Revolution, I believe, because I haven't traced anybody to here. Prior to 1811, we've forgotten as a nation what July 4th is about. It's about those guys at Valley Forge sacrificing. It's about Paul Revere and the other criers that went out and rode the countryside rallying the militia. It's about the pastors in their patriotic churches preaching against the crown. You know, when you look at all the letters and I never hit record again. Let me hit record again. All the problems that they had with England boil down to one or two specific things. One was trade. They weren't allowed to do free trade. They weren't allowed to use their own currency, their own script between states. England wanted to control the currency, you know, another fiat currency issue. They weren't allowed to make their own navy, which is a miracle there. When you look at what the colonials had to fight the British ships, they were basically whaling boats, you know, the long boats, with small cannons mounted in the front of them. It's a miracle that we won that war at all. And we talked about it a little bit when, what's his username? True Sons of Liberty guy came on, and he was talking about some of the miracles. There cannot be a separation of divine intervention and the glory that is July 4th. And it's all forgotten now. It's just like I said yesterday. The Thanksgiving stuff. People think it's just another holiday to go watch football. It was a Christian holiday. And there were multiple Thanksgiving days, and now they just whittled it down to the one in November. We need to remember our past. You know, not only because we'll be damned to repeat it for the mistakes, but we won't be able to apply the righteous stuff either. And our children need to learn about these great leaders and not this chewed up, ground up mulch that they're force feeding our kids today. That, you know, Jefferson was a rapist, you know, Washington was a Mason and a slave owner, you know. If you read, like, Washington, all you people who go, oh, Washington was a Mason, we can't trust any of them, read what his daughter wrote about him. Not the one that died. He had a 13-year-old daughter that died, but and he was was destroyed. But his other daughter, his stepdaughter, I think she was, said that he joined it just like anybody would join, you know, the Rotary Club. He was a surveyor, and at that time, surveyors were allowed in. Men of skill were let in. It was to build networks for business. Now, there is a devious side. Make sure there's no ammo in the pockets of that before you throw them in the dryer. Yeah, just in case. He joined that and very seldom went to temple, to the meetings with the Masons. Now, I know the Masons are bad. I'm not saying they're good. Don't get me wrong. But that's just like saying any founding father that was Catholic must be evil because he's probably a Jesuit. Don't take part in destroying our heritage. I'll take my other sandal off here. Don't take part in destroying everything that was put forth that was great that God molded in the Revolution simply because you may not agree with the faith system of one of them or an organization they belong to. I mean, the evidence is there for the bad stuff, but the evidence for the good stuff more than makes up for it. What did Washington do? If he was truly some kind of evil Mason, when they offered him a monarchy, don't you think a Mason would have gone, oh yeah, make me the king. It's good to be the king. No. Yeah. And supposedly there's all these Masons that are out there right now that, you know, in history that were part of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. If that's true, then why didn't they manipulate the document to fit their needs? You know you're part of the militia when you check your pants pockets for ammo before sticking them in the dryer. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I don't know if I have any ammo in these pockets.
I washed it before.
You get these really nice, shiny rounds when they come out of the wash. I put them in my box of, I don't know if this is going to go off box, and I use them for training, you know, because you don't know if it's violated the seal or something. But, yeah, you know you're in the militia when you have to clear your pockets of ammo before you do the wash. Yeah, you know you're in the militia when you go through airport security and you're like, you're probably going to find something. No, I don't think it would. I don't think it heats up enough, but I wouldn't want to risk it. I have seen people that have... I'm getting off the topic here, but I saw the results of a guy who was doing some roofing and he wanted to get the tar out of his pants. He had used a pair of jeans that he probably shouldn't have used. And so he soaked them in gasoline and took a wire brush and scrubbed off the tar. Well, then he went straight to the dryer. It was a gas dryer, had a pilot light. This is in Moreno Valley, California. And it started going, it started tumbling. And when the pilot light kicked in, because the pants were tumbling, it created basically a small airburst explosion, kind of like what they use in the battlefield. Well, even static charge could have set it off, right? But it blew the roof off of the garage of his house and set the rest of the house on fire. When we got there, the roof was in the street. And it smashed a couple cars. And it didn't take much investigation. I mean, first thing, we thought it was a drug lab. And then when you start talking to this Mexican dude, he's walking around all dazed. And he's like, I use gasoline to clean my pants. It's like, gasoline is not a solvent. But tell that to all our dads and everything. How many times have our dads washed stuff in gas?
Oh, yeah.
My dad was big on that.
In their hands.
Yeah, it was a small air fuel bomb. It just went poof. So what I'm telling you, folks, they're coming after you. They're going to take your house, take a bunch of towels, soak them in gasoline, throw them in the dryer, and run. Right there. Real-world experiment. It worked.
Don't put bounce in it.
Yeah, don't put bounce in it. No, just let the towels go in there with gas.
Static electricity.
Yeah. Well, if everything's wet, there won't be any static electricity for a while. The static electricity will be created once it's dry. So the point is that it was evaporating out of the pants. It went from a liquid to a gas. And the gas is what is combustible. It's just one of those things that that you don't think about until somebody does it, and they do it at the wrong time. I mean, how many times have you used gasoline to clean stuff and you don't think about it? I've seen guys, farmers, welding on fuel tanks, you know, no problem. But this guy's pants decided to explode his garage. Let's clean up gas by lighting it on fire. I've seen people do that too. Oh, you spilled some gas, and they light it because they don't want it to saturate into their driveway and leave a stain. I don't know. That happens to me sometimes because when I dump weed eaters, you know, and you're going to put fuel in them, people, oh, you got gas on the driveway, and they'll light it. Gasoline is amazing. We investigated a fire one time, and this woman had poured about 30 gallons of gas all around her husband's car in the garage. He had a little hot rod she wanted to blow up. And then hooked some Strike Anywhere matches to the garage door about 20 minutes before he was going to get up, is what we figure happened. He came down, he never looked at the light, he just hit the garage door and was on his way to work. Well, boom, it took off. But in 20 minutes, the gasoline had soaked into the concrete. People don't realize that concrete is porous. So when it went off, not only did it blow him through the outer wall and into the swimming pool, which didn't kill him right away, she was hoping he would die right away. He lived long enough to say, it's my wife, and tell us kind of what happened. But it shattered the concrete under the house, blew portions of the house apart. Fortunately, she had sent the kids to grandma, but what she also did is she took anything of value that she wanted out of the house and then made insurance claims that, hey, I had gold necklaces that were disappeared and stuff. The firemen must have stole them and that kind of stuff. And it's strange. It's really strange that gasoline would soak into concrete, and it just, I mean, she tried to blame it on the water heater, which she had blown the pilot light out because it would have gone off automatically anyway once it started to turn into a gas. But those are the things that happen. That's all we can do. I'm pointing at people that I'm talking about. I don't know. How's that look when I do that? Yeah, it looks pretty cool. So gasoline is a very interesting diversion tactic. It is. And there's lots of ways to make up time delays, and I won't go into it now, but I can tell you factual things about cases where people have actually done it. Either as a homicide or stupidity, people have done a lot of really dumb things. Castor beans in a jar that swell up, you know, or any pinto beans, all kinds of cool stuff for time delay devices. My favorite one, and I guess this is what you guys want to talk about, you know, there was an arson that was a fire arson investigator from, I think it was the San Dimas area in Southern California. He made a movie about him. He would start fires and then go solve them, and he looked like a super sleuth. And he was actually writing a script and videotaping himself a lot of the time so he could put it all together. And he would take brake fluid containers at a Walmart and go to the pool aisle and get the tablets of chlorine that you throw into your pool, you know, the tablets are about this big. He'd shove them in the brake fluid, seal it, and then stick them in a rack full of potato chips. Now, what this does is you get a chemical reaction with chlorine and brake fluid. It'll explode, and it shoots flames out. The reason he chose the potato chips is the potato chips, corn chips, are extremely oily, and they won't just explode. They'll light like a wick. Don't believe me? Take a Frito, light it with your lighter, and set it down. It'll burn like a candle. Well, when it would blow up, it would shoot these chips flying across the Walmart or the Costco or wherever he would do it, and start. It was an arson who did it, and it would set stuff up. And he was doing this, and he would be, you know, like, hey, I know exactly where the point of ignition was, and he was figuring all this stuff out. Well, finally, of course, the ATF got wind of it. The other arson investigator said, this guy's just too good. They started following him. When they caught him, he had all the stuff in his trunk. He had the script. He had videotapes of him hiding, videotaping the fire trucks responding, and he was pleasuring himself while he was videotaping it. The guy was a complete winner. He got multiple life sentences. He killed a grandma and her kids, and a couple people died in like a Costco fire, I think it was. They can do all kinds of stuff, but the problem was, somebody says, with art, the reason he stood out, only 10% of arsons are solved because it destroys the evidence. And arsons for hire, if there's no evidence of arson, you go, this must be arson. We can't find the point of ignition. We can't find an accelerant. This has got to be a professional arson. So you assume it, but you can't prove it. Less than 10% conviction rate. Yeah. Most of them are girlfriends burning their ex-boyfriends' cars, houses, boats, motorhomes. When you get into the professional stuff, that's when it gets scary. Like, you know, garbage trucks burning in the lot, like one a night for a week. It's usually mafia-related, where two competing businesses will burn each other's trucks. The second one after girlfriends, women are vicious arsonists. They love to burn stuff. I can't believe I'm talking about this on 4th of July, but I'm kind of going in a flow of consciousness because I'm in pain and, well, just deal with it. Jewish lightning, that's right, PennDOT. Business owners, that's what we called it in the arson. We called it Mexican lightning, Arab lightning. Their business isn't doing very good. We had one, this was a convenience cigarette store that was in Riverside, California. It was a Sikh family. They bought all this brand new equipment, new cash registers, new microwaves, the new machine that rotated the hot dogs. Like 3 weeks before, they had a break-in and an arson fire. He had all the receipts for the insurance company, everything, so we're investigating. Well, one of the arson investigators says, well, this is really weird. Let's run and see if he has any storage facilities in the area. And sure enough, a few blocks away, we found a, you know, you store it type thing in the brother-in-law's name of the guy who we thought started the fire. We went there. All that equipment he said he lost in the fire was brand new in the box in the storage locker. And they deported him. They didn't go to prison. They got deported back to Pakistan or Kashmir or wherever they came from. But those ones, they have to be really stupid to get caught. There has to be an evidence trail, or they have to be really nervous. Because my job was to videotape them while they were being interrogated. And the way they reacted led the investigators down certain paths to ask questions that would make them more uncomfortable. We had a Burger King fire where it was so obviously an arson because there were like 18 different points of ignition where the fire started. Because it didn't all come together, but it burned just about every area of the restaurant. It's not like a grease fire or, you know, somebody threw a cigarette in the trash. The trash burned. Each cushion burned out in the venue. And we started noticing while we're looking at it, well, this is kind of a crummy-looking Burger King. I mean, Burger King hasn't had these chairs and these designs since, like, the early 70s. When you have a franchise with Burger King to maintain it, you have to constantly be doing upgrades. This guy hadn't been. So he was in risk of losing his franchise if he didn't upgrade his Burger King, which meant he had to come up with capital, at least $150,000, to revamp and remodel it. He was going to be down the time that it was being revamped. He could probably run his drive-through, which is what we think his plan was to do anyway. But it was weird. And then we went to go pull the security cameras, and somebody had poured gasoline all over the VCR that recorded on a 24-hour loop. Okay, fine. So then we're like, this is kind of weird, you know, who would know to do this and come in and burn all the files? And he was trying to say it was some mobsters, some Armenian guys, you know, the whole thing. They always blame somebody else. Well, across the street was an ATM for a Bank of America, and we subpoenaed their tapes from that day, and it turned out they were digital. And we went back in time, and you could see the owner at 2 in the morning running around with gas cans dumping fuel everywhere. And what he had done is he had taken out a personal loan from his father-in-law for $150,000 and a business loan for $150,000, and we think he was planning to skip with the $300,000 plus the insurance check he was going to get. I don't think he had any plan of reopening his Burger King, but it doesn't matter now. He's in prison. Fortunately, nobody was killed, but you wouldn't believe how accurate ATM cameras are when they're digital. Be very careful of those. I mean, you think they just show you like this one here. No, you can see across the street with them. And there were security cameras everywhere. There were security cameras in the mall across the street. We subpoenaed the tapes from them, but none of them pointed towards the Burger King, or at least had egress where it could see into the front windows. But this guy was like just running around, and he kept the lights on. It was just, it was sad, you know, that he was that stupid. I almost feel bad for the stupid criminals. And you respect the intelligent ones when you go in and just like, there's no way to tell where this fire started. You know, well, it was so-and-so. And we're like, who's so-and-so? And so that's the guy. It's like Kaiser Sose. You know, they have a guy that they always blame. Oh, this must be, you know, Edgar Flamethrower or something. I can't remember what the name was, but they always have like a mythical name for the arsonist that'll never be caught because they're that good. Well, the truth is the best arsonists are firemen. I can't tell you how many wildland fires are started by firemen that just want overtime pay. It's terrible, I know. It's buffering, I can tell, because the picture stopped. I'll wait for you guys to catch up. I guess it's stupid for me to do that because then you just have a big old gap. So, buffering. I still don't see it moving. Buffering here, too. What are you doing? Are you, like, downloading music or something, Lou? the kink. Yeah. Well, it's like it's completely. I think it's my computer. It is. It is this computer. There we go now. Lou downloaded too much. What would it be? What would it be? Smurf videos. Videos. Yeah. Okay, so it's still buffering. I can tell by looking at it. Let me disable the camera. Maybe that'll help. Taking up too much bandwidth. I think it was the CPU trying to do stuff. yeah, there is a gap. We did do it. But arsonists that do really, really well are probably firemen. Arsonists that are very, very sloppy and it's just vicious is probably a woman. Random arson at someone's house, like their mailbox is burned, their bushes are burned, people throwing firebombs over it. It's not racially oriented. It's usually the victim of sexual assault coming back to get revenge. Sadly enough, I saw more teenage boys and girls, mostly boys, that would go burn down their uncle's tool shed because the uncle got grabby when they were a kid and they just started remembering it. Arson is a real direct acting out function of victims of sexual abuse as children. It's terrible. We had this guy, he had a flagpole business. He would sell flagpoles, and he was a scout leader. And he was getting like one fire every 2 to 3 months. I mean, a major fire. And for those of you that don't know, aluminum is very flammable, these aluminum poles. And so we figured it out. I didn't, but some of the investigators started interviewing kids in the neighborhood, and it turned out that he was a scumbag. And that's what it was. A couple of kids got together, and they were trying to somehow get revenge for it. And the sad thing was, when they were younger, they told several of them told their parents, "No, not Bob. Bob's, he's a great guy. He'd never do that." Listen to your kids. Listen to them closely. Kids don't make stuff up like that. You know, they shouldn't even know about that kind of stuff. It's sad to me when you find a child whose life is broken. I got to sit through videotaping their testimonies. You know, some of them were teenagers, but some of them were 10, 11 years old, and it just broke my heart. But the good news is there is one justice that is still meted out. That is child molesters in prison get just tortured every day until they put them in protective custody, and then they molest each other, and they get AIDS, and they die. And until the state decides to let them out and move them into your neighborhood, but that's another subject altogether. But arson is an amazing thing. I'm surprised it's not used more often. Down in Southern California, when the winds pick up, you go, well, the arsons are going to come out. The guys that want to get overtime. I can remember one case in Colorado. This major fire, like one of the biggest wildland forest fires Colorado ever had, destroyed 200 to 300 homes, which sounds like nothing for California. We get that in a moderate wildland fire. $1 million homes destroyed, all this. And the first firefighter that spotted it said she spotted it and she called it in. Well, they figured out by her GPS and stuff, there's no way she could have seen it where she was from. Where she claimed to be and all this stuff. It turns out she got a Dear John letter, was reading it in her patrol vehicle, because she was a U.S. Forest Service firefighter. She lit it up and just kind of threw it out. What then she said, when she figured she got caught, she said, well, I threw it in a fire and I made sure it was out. I didn't know, oh, too bad. No, she actually just kind of let it go and it set fire, and she kept hush during the whole thing. And fire is an awesome, awesome beast. It cannot be mastered. You think you can use it. You think you can wildlight this backfire. Even the Forest Service and stuff will be like, oh, we're going to do a controlled burn. I can't tell you how many controlled burns turn into out-of-control raging forest fires. Wind-whipped, what was it they used to call them on the local news down there? Wind-whipped stubborn brushers. And this guy used to come out all the time from the local news, and he was like an ex-firefighter, and we'd let him in on the trucks and stuff. But it's wildland fires are amazing out here because it's usually weeds, chest-high weeds. It's not like forest fires. they consume thousands and thousands of acres, and they move 50, 60, 70, 80 miles an hour. They take on a whole characteristic, like they're angry at you. I've been overrun twice because we didn't use proper security, or the person that was supposed to be watching the fire line didn't warn us soon enough. And you just figure, that's it, I'm going to die a horrible death, I'm going to burn alive. And God got me through it a few times, and I'm just like, well, you know, thank you. But the firestorms, they'll get into the foothills, the urban interface, and it works like a chimney. It will suck air in. It actually growls. You know that movie Backdraft showing all the firefighters and instructors? Yeah, that's bad enough. But try being on a mountainside, you know, 70, 80 mile an hour winds, and you know, the sky is black with soot, and you're surrounded. And all you have is, basically, when you're a wildland firefighter, you have an entrenching tool. It's called a Pulaski, and you cut line, and you have some torches, and you try and cut backfires. It's just what they do is incredible. I mean, they ingest that smoke. They don't give those wildland firefighters any kind of oxygen or compressed air. They're wearing little facey filters or things over their mouth to keep it from ingesting. There's a reason that firefighters get to retire at 55, because they don't live very long. Because of all the toxins and everything. Oh, thank you, Ed. We're kind of on the fly today. Welcome to our listeners from Liberty Tree Radio. We are in a remote area right now, and what we're doing is it's just one computer and one guy, me. I intended to talk a little bit about the 4th of July, or as I like to call it, I Hate England Day, but we got off on arson and fires. I was talking about my experience as a fire arson investigator trainee. I was never a full-fledged arson investigator. I ran the camera. I helped do surveillances. You know, they kept me around because I knew how to hook the cameras up. But we were talking about smoke eaters. We were talking about and the smoke jumpers that do that stuff. I mean, it's a thankless job. There are guys in the California Department of Forestry that don't get paid until the klaxon goes off and the fire call goes out. They spend all day there polishing that truck, and they don't get paid until there's a fire. So there's an incentive there for some of these firefighters, a very small percentage of them when you give them the overall number of firefighters in California, that will go out and start fires. Now, the number one thing that they're doing to start fires, they'll take a cigarette, put it into the old-fashioned flip-over matchbook, light the cigarette, and throw it, because they know they have a seven-minute delay, hits the matches, it goes up, and all we'll find is usually a staple and what's left of the cigarette butt. So, it's interesting. Arson is an amazing, amazing investigation field to get into. I mean, I just had a small number of classes, and I didn't learn much. But what I did learn is that it's tough to catch an arson. And for every way you think the fire was set, there's probably three or four dozen other ways that it could have started. And proving that in court is just a very hard thing to do. But now that we've switched over to our global network, Liberty Tree Radio, I'm Dutch Jones. Thank you for tuning in on this Friday before... What are you screaming? What? You see me?
Yeah.
How can you see me?
I'm
not transmitting anymore, the camera. That means you're listening to the recorded one. You're not listening to it live. Yeah, you're looking at the old ones. It does that every once in a while. But I forgot what I was saying now because you, like, let out that howl. You know, we try to do a radio show here. We try to be professional, and we just can't. Oh, this is the Friday before the 4th of July and Independence Day weekend when we severed our ties with the tyranny that is monarchy. The tyranny that is the oligarchy elite system in Europe. And how many years now, and we're right back where we started?
Your camera is on. People are just telling me.
No.
I mean, they're telling me.
No, I don't.
Your camera is on.
Really?
I see you.
Yeah. Okay, let's do this, because I said disable. Oh, it is. I disabled the monitor. Okay, I'm going to wave now. Yeah, you don't even know when it's on. See, that's the danger of having these cameras on these things. What I did was, listen, I turned off my monitor, so I didn't see it. I didn't know it was still streaming. So I don't know if I picked my nose while I was on the air. I am recording it, so I'll have to go back and take a look at it. But hey, how you doing? But we're going to talk about Independence Day. Enough about arson. Enough about how amazing I look on video. So, yep, it's on. So, July 4th. It's supposed to be a national holiday, the celebration of the struggle that this nation went through to free itself from the bonds of tyranny. And you think now more than ever we'd want to get into that. But no, look at what's going on around the country. people going to the lake, people having rodeos, people going to the woods, people going to hotels for, you know, dances and all kinds of stuff. They've forgotten the meaning of what it is to suffer for the cost of liberty. What is the green thing in my mustache? There, sadly, is no desire to even to return to that kind of character in America. To even bring it up in public is to say, "Oh, you're racist, you're right wing, you're wacko. We don't want to go back to that. We don't want to go back to, you know, 1808. We don't want to go back to when the Constitution was first ratified. It's a living document. It's fine just the way it is today and growing. We don't need to go back to it." There's just too many people that don't want to sit back and think about what really happened. Now, those of us in the Patriot Movement, we think about it 24/7. So if you want to run off and go take the high dive at the local Motel 6 somewhere, fine, do it. But take some time to educate those around you that don't understand what's going on. We've got people here that I bet if I walked up to them in our community right out here and said, "What's the 4th of July for?" "Well, we're celebrating the 4th of July." "Well, what is it?" I've had people tell me they thought it was about the Civil War. I've had people tell me they thought it was for the Pilgrims when the Pilgrims first landed. Yeah, it's the Declaration of Independence when it was signed. And it was the final letter of grievances that we set, and we put our foot down and we said, "This is it. You're no longer our king, and bring it on." But they don't want us to celebrate that, because if we celebrate that, that means we have to have an understanding of the process that we must go through to say the same thing to the same type of tyrants that have got their foot on our neck today. We can't reinvent the process. It was a perfect process. We can't try and find another way to throw the tyranny off of our backs. But yet everybody seems to want to just ignore what worked. Everybody would say, "Oh, well, that worked back then. We can't do that today. We have to go vote. Oh, we have to keep making certain that..." Let me do this. "We have to keep making certain that nobody understands what their rights really are. Unalienable rights. Meaning nobody can put a legal lien against your rights. They are not privileges. They are not given to you by the guy down at the clerk's office who stamps your license and your permit. I understand your point, Ed. It's not perfect because it's man-made. I overestimate sometimes, or I overuse the word perfect. It is an excellent way. Let's put that word in there. It's an excellent way to resolve these issues. Today we found out, they put out this little thing, that the Declaration of Independence had some corrections in it. That there was a place where Thomas Jefferson, or somebody, erased the word subjects and put in the word citizens. I know, I just said that. But there is no reason to degrade the document because they made a change to it. And that's kind of how the article was leaning. And yes, it's not perfect. It's excellent, but it's not perfect. I would have loved it if the Constitution had the words "Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior" in it, rather than "God." Year of our Lord. It would have been great if they'd have just said "Jesus Christ" in it, so we wouldn't have to be fighting all this stupid stuff right now. But I can't think of any other nation in the world that went through what we did to get the freedom that we had at one time, that gave it up so ignorantly. And at such a rapid rate in the last 30 years, the last three decades. Look how quickly we've just surrendered everything. My point and example is this Supreme Court decision on the Second Amendment. Everybody was dancing. "Oh, look, we won a Supreme Court decision." Well, I told you guys, Chicago went right after it and is enacting some of the most draconian anti-firearms laws on the planet. Because, the Supreme Court decision says we can do whatever we want. There can be no surrender. There can be no diluting. There can be no watering down of those pillars of faith that got us to where we were that had great men write something along the lines of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. We can't compromise that. We can't allow them to rewrite history. We can't let people to ignore cold hard facts. I saw on the History Channel, they did a thing on Washington. They made him look like a power-hungry, career-climbing goon. They said he even married Martha because of her land holdings. Never mentioned any of the miracles that occurred when he was fighting for the British in the French and Indian Wars. Never mentioned any of the miracles after he became a general. Never mentioned his strong faith. Never mentioned any of his writings. People are talking about what happened in El Paso.
Oh, there's
pictures? No, El Paso was bullets that came over and shot the city hall. Can you imagine what would have happened if the Founding Fathers were alive today if Mexico fired upon one of our government buildings? You cannot tell me that we are the same country we were back then, and I don't think any of you would try, but America is trying to. Every day, oh, things are just great, just keep moving, nothing to see here. Meanwhile, they're raping the Constitution, they're raping the Declaration, they're lying to our children in the public cesspool system about our own history. They're redefining everything to the point where we should feel guilty for even being on this continent as invader Europeans. And 97% of the population is going along with it by their willingness to not oppose it. The fanaticism of anti-American ideals is huge right now. You want to be popular? Go out and write a song making fun of Christopher Columbus. You want to be popular? Go on a lecture circuit and talk about the genocide of the American Indian in an overbearing manner that just vilifies every white person on the continent. That's where it's at. That's where the grant money's at. That's where the tenure comes from in the universities. I went through the university system after I got out of the Army. It was a rough time going for me because I, as you can guess, I didn't just sit there and let the professors talk like that. And I went to a moderate community that had a college, Colorado State University, and they still teach this revisionist history. They don't want to admit that the Native Americans on this continent were slaughtering each other long before we got here. They don't want to mention that famine and failure to take dominion over the land was creating a huge amount of deaths even before we got here. Now, I'm not saying that we didn't play a part in pushing them over the edge, but their populations had diminished due to a lot of environmental and a lot of cultural reasons. Go down in the Four Corners region of the United States and ask them what the word Anasazi means. All the sweaty tourists like to go down there and climb through the ruins and everything, and they're told that the Anasazi means the ancient ones. No. I've met people that live on the property. I've gone to meet with the Navajo, the Hopi, the Zuni, tribes that you've never even heard of, and the name unanimously means ancient enemy. They hated each other. They would butcher each other. The Hopi and the Navajo were sworn enemies. They were killing each other before we got here. And to make it sound like they were noble savages that had a perfect culture before white man landed and destroyed the land is counter to the truth and it's outright lies. And the white man's burden, the white man's guilt, I refuse to carry that package because I know the facts. Because I read books that were written before the 1960s and the revision of our educational system was taken over by communists. Because they need the proletariat culture struggle. They need class structure warfare for their system to be able to take hold. That's why they're destroying American history today. Their goal is to make people angry at our system of government, and it has its flaws. And I was arguing with this stinking communist on Facebook today. I mean, full-on communist. I mean, doesn't even hide it. I said, really? You know, he was talking about how America is, you know, killed. And the number he gave was like 96 million Native Americans that they supposedly killed. I said, not even the Native Americans claim there were that many of them. And the archaeological evidence doesn't even come close to that level. I said, but let's compare. How many tens of millions did communism kill? Just Mao and Stalin. Let's just take Mao and Stalin. Oh, he got upset at that. People always say, you know how many people have been murdered in the name of American Christianity? I go, quite a few. But how many have been murdered in the name of free medical rights called abortion? How many millions there? How many have been murdered in the name of agnostic rulers that had no faith system that just went out and killed whatever they wanted to? How many pagans that knew not of Christ went out and killed millions? Do you think Pol Pot was an American Christian when he killed 2.5 million in Kampuchea? Stalin wasn't a Christian. Trotsky wasn't a Christian. The entire period of the Cold War, were the Russians Christian? No. Does America make mistakes? Yes. I don't believe in this, the other side, God bless America, right or wrong. We should be honest about our mistakes. We should step up. We should apologize and make restitution. But you know what? We wouldn't be making mistakes like that if we weren't meddling in foreign affairs. The Founding Fathers said it multiple different ways, but basically trade with all nations, entangling alliances with none. It's funny, you had good Americans like Lindbergh who was decrying, don't get involved in World War II. Don't get involved in World War II. And he was vilified, even though he was an American hero. I don't know who's calling. I'm getting cramps again. Here, take it. I'm on the radio. Sorry about that, folks. Those of you who've been listening are knowing that I'm suffering from like severe body cramps, and I just got another one in my neck. Hang on. I can't wait to go to the VA tomorrow to find out what's causing this. Somebody does not want me doing this show or doing what I'm doing. So I am totally under physical attack the last few days. I had to shut the chat room. It was too distracting. Let me take a look and see what you guys are talking about now while I get a drink of water here. Yeah, Stalin killed millions. We just, we got to stand up when they say stupid stuff like that. We got to fight them in every arena in America. We can give no quarter, let them have no section. I know people that are criticized because they go into San Francisco to preach the gospel. And they say, why are you wasting your time there? And I always say, well, for one thing, I would never do it, but God bless these young kids who do it. Everybody deserves to hear the message. Everybody deserves to know it. And if they're, you never know, they go in there, they get beat up, they get assaulted by the faggots and all that. But until God, you know, tells me to tell them to not do it, which he's not going to do, I don't judge him for doing that. It's just like I don't get mad at people that still vote. I don't get mad at people who still run for national office and stuff. I don't know what God's telling them to do to fight the holy cause of, for the holy cause of liberty. But we can give no quarter, give no ground. We're to occupy every inch of this world, both philosophically, spiritually. Who was it, little girl? What she want?
She says she's on a flight to Colorado.
Yeah. Let's pray for Anthea, folks. She's going with her birth mother to visit her grandpa in Colorado, and she just they're flying on a plane right now. So just she'll be back with us on the 9th, and we just pray that you know, she's protected and they don't pollute her mind too much. Her grandfather's a liberal academic. He's retired, U.S. Forest Service, a high-ranking guy, friends with Al Gore, and he just puts all kinds of garbage in her head and asks her all kinds of questions about what I'm doing. And she's pretty well trained. She knows enough to talk. And what, you know, we're not doing anything illegal, but we just don't want her to be doing anything. So, but the 4th of July, folks, we should seize back this holiday. This should be a militia holiday. Just like we do April 19th. We do Confederate Memorial Day, too, at our church. We take back Confederate Memorial Day and we tell people why it's this day. Just like the battle I had last week over the Confederate flag that flies behind me sometimes at the other location. I'm not going to let people just say, oh, you can't fly that flag, or, oh, that flag, you must be a redneck racist. I go right up to them and say, why do you say that? Why do you say that? Because 9 times out of 10, they're not intelligent to begin with, and they have no base for their argument. They're just repeating what they were told. And that 10th time you have a decent, humane debate, you may sway somebody. And I think we really have to take back the 4th of July. We need to teach what it was about, who we were fighting and why, so that people will remember what kings and queens do to their subjects. I mean, I hate the fact that we've made England our red-headed stepchild, and they're almost as bad as Israel. Almost. You know, I'm Scottish and Dutch in descent, and I know what the English did to my people who wanted to worship freely, the Scottish Covenanters. And let's not even talk about William Wallace. What they did to Scottish chaplains would be killed on sight. I'm no big fan of England. I don't care if they fought against the Catholics. I don't care if they were our ally in two wars. They were our ally because they needed to be. I also don't like them holding land to our north called Canada. I think we should invade Canada after we solve our problems here. This should be a Pax Patriotica Americana on the northern North America. You know? Yeah, I Hate England Day will be the subtitle. People like that. I just said it off the cuff one day because I like to tell Brits that when they argue with me online. Oh, you mean 4th of July? I go, you guys don't celebrate 4th of July over in England? Why not? They get all mad, you know. And then one guy says, well, we celebrate the War of 1812 where we burned your capital. I go, yeah, you mean the second time we chased you out of the country? Oh, we just did what we wanted to. I said, no, you were going to set up a puppet government and take over, and our good old boy rednecks chased you out for a second time. I go, and my apologies to English people who listen. I know we have an English contributor that promotes the show, and I don't mean to offend everybody in England, just most of them. You know, the buck-toothed fools over there, the inbreeding, the people who rolled over for gun control laws, the people who allowed them to take away their national sport of fox hunting because they just wouldn't stand in the streets, the people who are allowing Muslims to take over their country. You know, you folks, you wimps, you wimpy English. Now, you good, strong English people that understand what liberty is, I'm not trying to offend you. In fact, I'm trying to encourage you to do the same thing. I get so many emails from people that say, oh man, I wish I could come to America and be free. And I'm like, no. Door shut, buddy. I really feel for you Serbians. I really feel for you Croatians. I really feel for, you know, you in Lithuania, you Russians. But you got to clean up your own country. God put you somewhere on earth for a reason. And that reason wasn't to flee here and clog up our lifeboat. The days of exploring the world and discovery and every inch of it are gone. We've been through that phase of our history. Now where you are is where you need to stand and make a fight for liberty. Make a stand for Jesus Christ. And as I've said before, and it offends, I can't believe how much this offends people. If you're not in a Christian militia, you're not doing anybody any good. When I did that video, the last video a couple of days ago on YouTube, oh man, everybody got mad at me. You know, it's like I'll get four or five, you know, hey, way to go, keep good job. And then I'll get like four of these just like, you know, oh, stuff your religion. You know, what are you doing? You know, you're limiting the amount of people we're going to be able to collect. And I said, no, I don't want ungodly people fighting beside me. Now, if they want to go fight their own war and say, I don't know, I can't pick a state where people won't get offended. Rhode Island. I don't think we know anybody in Rhode Island, although that was a very Christian state when it was started. Go to Rhode Island and make your own atheistic commune there with whatever form of government you want when this is over. But as for me, if I have anything to say about it, wherever I'm living is going to be a Christian-based government. It won't be a theocracy. I'm not going to force people to be Christian. That's not what I'm saying. But just like every constitution in America, if you look at the original constitutions from the states, in order to run for office, even to be dog catcher, you had to be a Christian in good standing in a recognized denomination of Christ. Now, I'm non-denominational, so I don't know what that would do to me today. When people ask me, are you Catholic, Protestant, Armenian, or Calvin, I say, neither. I'm a follower of Christ. As soon as Christ launched his church, that's what I am. There's no Ecclesiastes for me to go, oh, this is who I follow. I follow Christ, and then I read what good men write about him that have proven themselves by their fruit to have an understanding. So, you know, you can't say you're a Lutheran, you're a Baptist. That makes it easy. I'm a patriotic American Christian. And most people think that means freak or wacko now. I love it. Ever since the Hutari thing, I'm getting so many emails. Oh, you're the next Hutari. People are writing about the show on blogs. They're reviewing the show. They listen to like 15 minutes of one show because they say that's all they can stand. And they say, oh, he's another wacko like Hutari. I got compared to David Koresh three times today. Three times today in hate mail, I got called the next David Koresh. And I said the same thing happened yesterday. I got one person that called me David Koresh yesterday. And I said, one, I don't have that many followers. And if I stood up and told everybody, you know, hey, I'm going to write the seals and all this. People would look at me like I was nuts, even in my church, and go, I don't think God is telling you that. Let's test it. Nobody would just follow me blindly. I'm not saying the guys at Waco did, but who knows? Maybe God was telling Koresh to do it. I don't know. That doesn't make what the government did right, even if he was a religious wacko. But I said, the difference between me and Koresh is I would have kept firing. I wouldn't have stopped and just sat there and waited and waited and waited for them to come in and murder my people. I would have armed everybody that was big enough to handle a gun, and we would have fought our way out of the compound. And I know people hate it when I call it a compound, church, fort, whatever you want to call it. So I'm not David Koresh. Somebody said I was like Jim Jones. I said, no, I don't like Kool-Aid that much. Yeah, and they don't even really know what Jim Jones is. If you examine what Jim Jones was doing, he was doing a lot of CIA experimental stuff of torture. Yeah, usually when people fight with me over these types of things, they have no understanding of history. They have a pop culture immersion, and they don't remember facts. Even if what they were told, they don't remember all of it. They don't even remember what year. I go, really? What country did Jim Jones move to? Oh, I don't know. It was somewhere in Africa. Was it Canada? I don't know. And he goes, no. You ever hear of Guyana? No. What reporters were killed on the runway? What a cameraman was shot? I remember watching it live when I was a kid. Dutch, do you play in a rock band? Actually, I did. Where'd that come from? I haven't played in a rock band since I got out of the Army, but yeah. I used to be in a band called Four White Guys and a Mexican, and our bassist was...
It was like a lounge act.
It was a lounge act. No, it was improvisational punk. And we did a couple covers, you know, your typical Ramones, Sex Pistols, Clash songs, but then I would just make up... I was the lead singer and the bass player, and I would just make up songs. And then after that, I was in a band that was, actually, they're still together, called Twice Wilted, and then they've changed their name like four or five times. It was too faggy for me to be in it. None of the guys were fags. I was like Twice Wilted. They were trying to be like the Cure kind of thing, and I was more like the Clash. You know, I didn't know how to play. And then now they're called... not Tar Babies. They had to change it. It was Tar Babies, and they got in trouble. But they're still touring. They just got done with a tour, and I saw it, and I'm like, hey, I know that guy on MTV, and I called him, and they acted like they didn't know me. I found out they had found my Facebook page, and they actually said they thought I was an FBI agent. Because the last they knew, I was a cop, right? And they go, are you doing some kind of undercover thing? Because you're like all anti-government now. And I go, yeah, about 10 years ago I was a cop. But now I hate it, so... I used to sing the blues. I used to do improvisational punk blues. And my stage name was Semi-Blind Melon Belly. Yeah, I was Semi-Blind Melon Belly, and I would get up and ask people what was bothering them today in the crowd, and then I'd make up blues songs about it. And I could just play a simple blues riff. Bow, 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 bow. I went down to the store. Bow, 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 bow. To get me some Effident. You know, whatever. You know, somebody yelled, my grandma made me go buy tampons. So I'd write a song about it on the stage. I used to do Saturdays and Sundays at a bar called The Library. Excuse me, I just took a drink of water. The bar was owned by my art teacher in high school, Miss Giolotti. She got married to one of her students. After he graduated, and she's no longer Miss Giolotti, I don't know, but we did that. We did a couple colleges, and I liked doing the punk scene. I really did. I loved the whole rebellion. I was in more riots as a punk than I've been in as a right wing fanatic. To be honest with you, I've had my leg broken. I've had fingers busted by cops in protests in Denver, Boulder, New York, Chicago. You know, just go all over and just get ugly. Now picture my face on about 114 pounds of anger with a giant blue mohawk and piercings all over my face. You guys got to see me. Those of you that were watching the vidcam, I don't know, it was weird. And I made a decision when I was 17 and a half that it was going to kill me. I said, I can't keep following this lifestyle. I had a group of friends that all went to drugs, and then I had the other group of friends that all went to like faggy, what would be called emo music, and I just gave up. So I said, you know what? And I walked into a recruiter station because he'd been coming around the high school and he kept ignoring me. And I said, look, you keep coming to my high school. You talk to all the other athletes. He goes, you're an athlete? I go, yeah, I run track. He goes, you should learn to run with a hairdo like that. People are always trying to beat you up. I said, no, people don't like to fight with me anymore because I bite. So he asked if I wanted to be a Ranger, and I said no. But he got me in the National Guard, and the rest is history. I tried out for the Special Forces but failed. I just didn't have the physical ability to do it. You know, try being 114 to 120 pounds and carrying a 120-pound pack. It just can't be done. It's just basic physics. I was kidding myself when I tried out for that. But that was my life. That's where I came from, and people want to mock it. People want to say, well, that's not a true Christian upbringing. I didn't become a Christian until I was 32. But the way my testimony is, I've never heard anyone like it. I've heard some weirder, especially some of our guys that we know that are, you know, murderers and stuff that have found Christ and attend our church, you know, have been saved and have been walking the right line now. But it's an interesting testimony. Everything in my life now, looking back, I see directed to this cause right now. I was always a rebel, even though, you know, I told you guys yesterday that being a rebel was witchcraft. But when you rebel against unrighteous tyranny, well, there's no such thing as righteous tyranny, but against tyranny, you're being biblical. And I was just being trained to be a soldier, and I didn't know it. Now, for some reason, God's taken the soldiering out of my role, where, you know, a lot of it's my fault because, I didn't pay attention to my physical well-being when I was working behind a desk or a steering wheel. But all of that comes to fruition and is being used in the holy cause of liberty. I can't walk away from the fact that God has been preparing me for this. And I don't think it's some great role. No, I don't think I'm a leader. I've had people say, oh, you know, we'd follow you anywhere. I said, you better not. I get lost a lot. I'm the kind of guy that's, it's better that I'm one of the Indians that can handle some key roles. I'm not a leader. I don't always know what to do in the split-second decisions, and I'm not willing to just fake it and depend upon fate. I don't do that. I like to think things out. I like to plan things out. You know, I'm the guy that when he's getting ready to go on a camping trip, spends like 3 days packing and repacking his stuff, making sure everything's there. I don't like to leave things up to chance. I'll pray to the Lord and put it in His hands, and some people say that that's the same thing, and it's not. I let the Lord build my path and give me signs, and He does. He doesn't talk to me. I don't hear like a physically. What happened there? I don't physically hear like a voice in my head, but He'll give me symbols. You know, I'll see things, I'll hear things. He'll put people in my path that direct me, and I pray for that. I'm like, Lord, I know I'm a buckethead. I know I don't know what's right, but should I do this? Should I embark upon this? Should I go to the border this weekend? Or should I stay and take care of my leg and take care of my daughter who I don't get to see very much? You know, and we always, you know, look for signs that way. But sometimes God leaves the tough decisions up to us just to make us stronger and better. Maybe He puts the hardships in our way to be just like lifting weights. You'll never get anywhere. You'll never get physically fit if all you're doing is lifting 5-pound barbells your whole life. Sure, you'll get nice and toned and maybe get some aerobics going there if you do it real fast, but you got to put your body under stress, and that's what the Lord does to us. I mean, I wish I'd have been more involved in the militia groups, you know, in the 90s when I had lots of money and no time. Now I don't have any money and I got lots of time. Isn't it weird? I should have found that happy medium if I'd have been a better steward of my life and of the gifts that the Lord gave me. I mean, a day doesn't go by that I don't think, I used to own a dozen AR-15s. I used to have a 50 caliber rifle. I used to have 10,000 rounds in my garage. You know, I used to have all the radios. I could have outfitted a small squad, you know, 5 to 8 men with anything we needed. The timing wasn't right. And I was being foolish and not listening to the Lord at the time. And I think that's what this country is doing. We're being foolish and not listening to the Lord. We're ignoring. Holidays are biblical. Some people think, oh, holidays are evil. You know, Jehovah's Witnesses and stuff. We shouldn't celebrate holidays. I don't care if you celebrate Halloween. As long as you don't celebrate it in a pagan manner. You don't go out and worship Satan. You know? Celebrate the fact that Jesus freed us from those pagan beliefs. You know? We do Reformation Day just because that's when Martin Luther did his thing at Worms. He put the thesis up, 95 Theses. And we started to separate from the oppressive nature of the Catholic Church, a type of tyranny. There's ecclesiastical tyranny. There are jurisdictions in everything in our lives. And to be a Christian doesn't mean that you're not supposed to be obedient to civil magistrates. You're supposed to be obedient to just, godly magistrates. That's why whenever somebody from our church goes to court for something, gets arrested for something, pastor likes to go in and just always read into it. Woe to those magistrates that make unrighteous decrees. Woe to those magistrates that victimize widows and orphans. He puts them on warning, saying, we may not get justice here today, but we will get justice when you, judge, stand before the greatest judge of all and are called to account for what you're doing in this courtroom. And it gets put into the legal record. And it puts the fear of God into these judges. I've seen it happen. They look at the bailiff. The bailiff kind of starts touching his gun. What do we do? There's nothing you can do because the higher authority is being invoked here, and that higher authority is the Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ. And then other people, they want to clap. You can see them kind of putting their hands together a little bit, and they're like, oh man, why isn't my pastor here? You know? I got caught driving without a license. Why isn't my pastor here telling the judge to go stick it, that there's no authority here to make us drive with licenses? The Lord led me to this church, led me to follow great men like our pastor and his father who died, and the men that he brings into this church to educate us. Our church preaches every Sunday, July 4th. Now, they don't get into the whole I Hate England Day like I do, but they preach American history every Sunday. I got an email from a guy yesterday who's a listener, and he comes in as guest, and he's a Filipino man. And he actually sent me a letter that said, "Dear Dutch, I'd like to go to your church, but I look like a Mexican, and I fear I might upset people if I come into your church looking like a Mexican. It happens all the time. People think I'm a Mexican, and they hassle me, ask me if I'm illegal." And that really kind of broke my heart, that people would be too stupid to actually ask the question first and just assume the guy, because he looks, you know, dark skin, that he's some kind of criminal. I mean, talk about profiling. And I said, you know, it's sad that you have to ask that question, but you are more than invited to come to our church. We have Filipinos, we have Mexican men and women, we don't have any black folks that regularly attend, but they come to... we have Chinese.
Very nice.
Yeah, and I go, all we care about is that you love Jesus Christ, you understand what's wrong with America, and you want to be part of the solution. And hopefully he'll be here this Sunday. I said, come July 4th, you're going to see a sermon that you will never see any other church pastor give, or church or pastor. He's going to talk about the American Revolution and where obedience to God is resistance to tyranny. And he does this little visual thing and hopefully he's going to do it. He's done it in the past. We're trying to get him to do it. He actually does a sermon that was given by a pastor named Mueller during the American, just prior to the American Revolution, when they were still trying to muster their troops. And he invoked God in the war for liberty against the crown. And Muhlenberg, his name was Muhlenberg. Thank you. It popped into my head. Thank you, Lord. And he does that sermon. Just as I imagine that pastor gave it that day in his little town chapel in, I think it was New Hampshire or Massachusetts, where he told the men and young boys of that parish that if you love God, if you love Jesus Christ, if you love liberty, you need to stand up for it now. This place and time, God has placed you to be a protector of all things sacred. Is there any way we could get it to stream it live? You know, I'm trying to think. We're way far away from a computer, but we might, I don't know. Lou and I can work on it. That would be awesome. I know the pastor would be 100% for it. It just means we'd have to buy a really long audio cable, because we'd have to go from where the computers are to our activity. Peter Muhlenberg, thank you, Minuteman. Peter Muhlenberg, that's who it was. I couldn't remember it. I don't have any of my books with me. I'm horrible on names. Minuteman gave me that. What I'll do is we'll try and see. I know we can do it. We just have to see if we have enough cables to run to the microphone of the church computer, because we have a U-Broad. We can just put it up on U-Broadcast and do it. In fact, when I get off of here today, I'll call the pastor and ask him, because I would love to do that. I would love to hear the pastor give a sermon like that. It's probably 175 feet. We run video signals that far, because sometimes we have overflow and we have a big screen TV in the back and we hook up cameras. We have wireless microphones too, but we're just we always have problems with them in a metal frame building because some of the add-ons are metal. But we could run put a soundboard in the middle, run it into the soundboard, and then preamp it back to the computer for an auxiliary out. I think we could do that. We could just take another auxiliary send, just put the soundboard in the ladies' room in the middle of the building where they do all the dressmaking and stuff. That would be awesome. In fact, I will let you know. I will talk to him tomorrow, definitely, or no, Sunday, definitely, but I'm going to call him tonight. Usually on Saturdays, you can't reach him because he's practicing for his sermons, and he does that. So, let's see. I don't think we're going to move it from the small hall to the big hall just because of air conditioning costs and stuff, but we'll see. I'll call him tonight, but maybe tomorrow we can definitely figure it out. You know how to do it, but I think just running a cable, you know what I can do? I can take a Cat 5 line and just take a twisted pair and put a stereo tip on it and plug it in. It would be pretty easy to do that. So we could, we got Cat 5 wire. We've got a couple hundred feet of that, and just preamp it with another soundboard. We've got like a performance soundboard that preamps out the speakers. It's not just like a little tiny audio soundboard. It's an amp in it, and we could do that. Wow, that would be interesting. I got a lot to think about tonight. Then we'll have to do it. We'd have to set it up tomorrow and get it going. I don't see why we couldn't. At the very least, you know, if he does the sermon that he's planning on doing, because sometimes, and I'm not saying he's flighty, but God will give him a completely different sermon than what he's prepared. Usually on July 4th, this is the sermon he gives, and we're all begging him to do it again, you know, so it's really good. And it's a visual thing, too, because, and I can tell you this because you're not going to see it. He's wearing a black robe the whole time he's giving it, like the old pastors used to wear. He pulls it off, and underneath, he's wearing a colonial officer's military uniform from the period that he had made for him. And it's like Muhlenberg, if I'm pronouncing it right again, had that, and that's what he did, using the 1970s spy mic in the rafters. Yeah, no, we could go straight off of his lapel mic, Rocky. There's no reason to have, you know. I mean, a mic's a mic. In fact, a condenser mic would be better than a dynamic mic anyway. So we could do that. Okay. Yeah. Well, what I can do is. Email, call, I'll do everything I can to get in touch with you, short of sending a Pony Express rider, and I'll make sure, Ed, that you get it. Those of you that are wondering why I'm having a one-sided conversation, because there's a chat room on You Broadcast. The folks at Liberty Tree Radio can't see it. I can see it, and the people on all the different other streams can't see it. I don't even know how many people are in the room right now. I think there's 11 in the chat room here. But, yeah, we'll work on that. I would love to share. At the very least, we'll record it. And I can put it on right afterwards, just run the disc in and play it to you so you can stream it from that. Because our services start at 10 a.m. And from 10 a.m., you know, he'll go, we'll sing for about 30 minutes. So at 10:30, 10:45 is when the sermon usually starts. So we never know when it's going to start, so that's the tough thing. I mean, we could just be playing the music, although we're terrible singers. I mean, it'd be funny to hear. Every once in a while, I record the singing part, and you can actually, because I got a loud voice, you can hear me way off key singing over it, and I'm going, yeah, I need to stop that. I shouldn't be singing that loud, but we'll do what we can do. Lou, are you, if you're listening, Lou, I need you to come over here. We need to switch to Muzak for a minute. I've got to shift and do some stuff here. So when you hear this, Lou, streaming, please come into the other room. Lou's isolated himself. I guess he's getting tired of hanging around us. Whenever we get into a place where he can shut a door, he does. He's like, I don't want anything. I don't want anybody hearing me. He wasn't even bummed that I wasn't going to let him run a soundboard today. I said, I'm just going to go directly into the computer. No fade-ups, nothing fancy. Just come on over. Okay, Lou, I need you to come here and set up some music, get it to play. What's going to happen is hopefully Lou won't just cut me off this time like he did last time. But go ahead and get some music playing and just switch over to it for me, please. And we'll be back after a song or a couple of songs here. I need to stretch my leg. This thing's killing me. It's starting to cramp up again. But, okay, now what are you doing, Lou? Where are you going? Okay. I'm trying to watch what he does. He's got, like, this weird thing. He doesn't do it like anybody else, so I can't figure it out. What are you doing here? moving songs in. No, don't play They Are Coming to Take Me Away. let's see, what would be a good one here? We have to have a patriotic song here. Do the Battle Cry of Freedom. Do that one, even though it's from the War of Northern Aggression. We'll do that song. We'll be back after this song, and Lou's going to bring this over here, and he's going to shut me off right now. We'll be right back.
Our flag is proudly floating on the land and on the main. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Beneath it oft we've conquered and will conquer oft again. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Our Dixie forever, she's never at a loss. Down with the eagle and up with the cross. We will rally around, the bonnie flag will rally once again. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Our gallant boys have marched to the rolling of the drums. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. And the leaders in charge cry out, come boys, come. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Our Dixie forever, she's never at a loss. Down with the eagle and up with the cross. We will rally around, the bonnie flag will rally once again. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. They have laid down their lives on the bloody battlefield. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Their motto is resistance to the tyrants never yield. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom. Our Dixie forever, she's never at a loss. Down with the eagle and up with the cross. We will rally around, the bonnie flag will rally once again. Shout, shout the battle cry of freedom.
Rights are threatened, the cry rolls near and far. Hurrah for the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star. As long as the Union was faithful to her trust, like friends and like brethren, kind were we and just. But now when northern treachery attempts our rights to mar, we hoist on high the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah for southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah for southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star. First gallant South Carolina nobly made the stand. Then came Alabama, who took her by the hand. Next quickly Mississippi, Georgia, and Florida. All raised on high the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star.
rally, gather round the banner of the right. Texas and fair Louisiana, join us in the fight. Davis, our loved president, and Stevens, statesman rare. Now rally round the bonny blue flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the bonny blue flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. The old Dominion state, with the young Confederacy, at length has linked her fate. Impelled by her example, now other states prepare to hoist on high the bonny blue flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the bonny blue flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the bonny blue flag that bears a single star. Cheer, boys, cheer now, raise the joyous shout, for Arkansas and North Carolina now have both gone out. And let another rousing cheer for Tennessee be given, the single star of the bonny blue flag is grown to be 11. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the bonny blue flag has gained the 11th star. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the bonny blue flag has gained to our Confederacy. Strong we are and brave, like patriots of old we'll fight our heritage to save. And rather than submit to shame, to die we would prefer. So cheer for the bonny blue flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the bonny blue flag has gained the 11th star. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the bonny blue flag has gained.
Okie dokie. Wow, the music's starting again. I just hit pause. That's kind of weird. I must have hit pause too hard. Anyway, we're back. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. I had to stretch out my leg and my neck there. I was starting to have spasms or cramps or whatever it is that's attacking my body. And hydrate. I drank, almost 1.5 liter. So I probably drank about a liter of water during the break. So I'll be needing another break real soon, but of course we're getting near the end. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. If you're listening to the replay on U Broadcast, we lost the first 20 minutes. However, I have good news for you. Friend of the program, Oli Ma, does her own little bit of logging when she can, and we appreciate every minute that she catches. So if you go to the dutchjones.tk, that's J-O-E-N-S, dutchjones.tk website, you can... what's wrong now? What's wrong? What are you doing? Why'd you run in here? Lou just ran in here. If you guys can hear me, let me know in the chat room. But you can go to the dutchjones.tk website. There's an archive there. It says listen to past shows. So if you want to hear the first 20 minutes that disappeared or whatever it was, it's right there. I'm not President Nixon. I'm not erasing tapes. I'm not leaving stuff out. There isn't a special part of the show that you have to pay to hear like other so-called right-wing hosts out there that do. They make you pay for their shows. I don't ask you to pay for my show. I have to pay for my show, but you don't have to pay for it. I have to pay to do it. I ask you to donate if you're so moved, and you can do so at the website there. We set up a new chip-in. Our costs got a little less this month. We're real happy to see that electric bill be under $10,000. It was hitting almost $300 there for a while, and it ended up being faulty wiring and stuff, so we had to go out and spend... Well, we spent $300 on a new water heater, so, I mean... So technically, we're out this month. It's going to take a while to recoup that capital investment for the water heater, but it's the right thing to do. We're using their facility. We're storing a bunch of stuff there. We're using it to broadcast from. It's only fair that we pay the electric bill and then give them a love tithe for the use of the building. And and I just ask that if you guys like this show, that you help out with that. I wish it could be, you know, I had enough money. Thank you, Olima. Where we could just do this show 24 hours a day, but we don't have the bandwidth. If we ever are blessed and we move a little bit closer to where they provide DSL, or DSL comes another 1,200 feet down the road, this U broadcast channel will be up 24 hours a day with music running and whatever we can do. You know, I'll work it out with Liberty Tree Radio and do a show from midnight to 6 or something. I'm more of a night owl than most people, but we just don't have the bandwidth to do it. And but our goal is that, is to either, you know, pray for them to come to us or us to go to them. But right now, we just can't do it. And so your support is welcome. Make sure you make a note of the fact that Post Office Box 31 has been compromised. They didn't like the fact that I rented it with no ID and under a name that they can't find. And so they want me to come down and take care of business with that. So we're going to open up a new one. We'll use another name or something, and we'll get that going. So hold off on sending your love packages. A lot of you send us DVDs, CDs, stuff like that. We love it. It's good to get it. Huh? Yeah, we haven't been getting stuff, so we don't know if you stopped sending them or the people at the post office are taking them in the back there and watching them at our local post office. So Post Office Box 31 is no longer secure, you know, so it's kind of like, is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is what safe? Marathon Man, remember that? What was that? I can't remember. The Dr. Mengele was digging around in his teeth when he was doing that. Laurence Olivier, man, talk about a good actor playing a creepy role. If you haven't seen Marathon Man, Dustin Hoffman's best role. He actually has to act in that role. That and Little Big Man. Those are the two movies that I'm not a big Dustin Hoffman fan, but you should tell me you're going to watch Marathon Man or Little Big Man. Maybe it has to have the word man in the title. And I will sit down with you and I will watch those movies because it's just they're just very well done, you know, and totally different kinds of movies. So that's the recommendation. Oh, and I got some good news. Last night, for the first time in my life, I sat down and watched the entire Bridge on the River Kwai. I have to correct. I kept saying Bridge over the River Kwai, but Lou got it for me and we watched the full version of it. And it all makes sense now. It just totally makes sense. Because I had missed a big chunk of the beginning, and I never saw the ending. So now I understand what's going on with it, and the power play between the British officer and the Japanese commandant of the camp. And I can honestly say, after seeing it all the way through, I don't think I was missing much. I'm sorry. I know a lot of people love that movie, but I was just kind of like, oh, okay. Basically, it just made the British look stupid again. You know, because they were collaborators with the Japanese, and I know there's some higher meaning there where they weren't really collaborating; they were just trying to maintain their human dignity by doing the best job they could, even if they were prisoners of war. You know, but I was hoping it would be more like a Stalag 17 kind of movie where there'd be mass escapes and you know, resistance to the overbearing guards and that kind of stuff. You know, it wasn't even a Hogan's Heroes. I was just kind of like, oh. And at the end, when the one actor's standing there yelling, "Madness! Madness! Madness!" I was like, that's the end? They're not gonna... That's it? We don't know if the gimped British SAS officer makes it back alive. You know, they're just gonna leave me there with some British doctor on a sandbar yelling madness. And I didn't even get to see when they blow up the bridge and the train load of soldiers goes in, they don't even show you the carnage. It's a model. And it's like no payoff. I don't understand why everybody considers this one of the best war movies of all time. I'm sorry, but that's it. I got to call him likes I sees him. And it just, it frightens me that people consider that to be a good movie. I was like, I don't know if is it me or, you know, I'd rather watch Battle of the Bulge over and over again, which is a great movie. I'd rather watch The Longest Day over and over again. So yeah, Bridge on the River Kwai, not on the Dutch Jones approved viewing list. Although I kept waiting for Sir Alec Guinness to pull an Obi-Wan Kenobi thing. You know, he had that little riding crop or whatever they call them that British officers carry around. I kept saying, maybe that's a lightsaber. You know, they take him in to beat him with bamboo poles. They don't even show it. You know, the guards drag him in because he's being insolent and refusing to work. They pull him into the commandant's office, and you know he's getting a beating, but they don't show it. I mean, like, what's up with that? Not that I want to see an Allied soldier get beat, but, I mean, was it in their contracts? They didn't have to actually do anything in the movie, you know, except just stand around in barracks and give lines? I don't know. Am I being unfair here? In my last few minutes, bagging on the movie. Well, this is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. This has been an hour on Liberty Tree Radio, 2 hours on U Broadcast, and who knows where else. Thank you so much for listening, and we will be back Monday We're not going to take the day off, and I'll tell you what we did for July 4th. And with any luck, maybe we'll be televising the Church of Cahuilla's Sunday sermon live on Liberty Tree Radio. Ed says that it was a different age. Well, we'll talk to you later, and we're off on the other one. So, folks that have been listening on your broadcast, thank you. I want everyone to have a great 4th of July. Don't forget the purpose. That doesn't mean you can't go out and, have a few beers and fry a few steaks, but just take a moment, maybe when you say your prayer over the meal, to say thank you to the founding fathers and the sacrifice they made, and praise the Lord for the protection that He's giving us right now and the chance He's giving us to live in this date and time where we may make a difference. Offer yourself up to be part of the answer, part of the solution instead of part of the problem. I'm Dutch Jones. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back Monday, but I'm going to take a much-deserved couple of days off and keep my feet up. Maybe